Here we go. Welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast, where we share stories of personal transformation and life lessons through our experiences of traveling and exploring the world. Travel is the ultimate accelerator for personal growth, and it can be the root catalyst for the pivots and plot twists we make in our lives. I'm your host, Kelly Tolliday, and it's my mission to inspire you to live life to its fullest, travel with an open mind and heart, and let the world show you a new perspective. I'm so grateful you're here with us today, so let's dive right in. Happy exploring. All right, here we go. Welcome, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining us on the Transform with Travel podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yay, everyone here. I have Nicole Gonzalez-Cumberbatch here with us from the Motherhood Village. Nicole is really just a dynamo of all sorts. Oh. You got your hand in everything. Nicole is a proud boy mom, business owner, former VP of Finance, financial advisory committee member for the city of Coral Springs here in South Florida, and she's a podcaster. Yes. You founded the Motherhood Village in 2021, and her mission is to empower mothers to thrive in their roles by providing a platform for expert-led discussions and meaningful events that prioritize mental wellness and overall well-being. Most importantly, to foster a community where mothers can find the support and inspiration they need to lead fulfilling lives.
Yes.
And so I've had the pleasure of joining one of your support groups in Pompano Beach, which is local to me. Yes. And it's just such an amazing community of women that you have. They're mothers of all ages, stages, yes, backgrounds, some new moms who are pregnant for the first time, mm-hmm, some veteran moms. And it's, yeah, just like, it's just amazing to see people come all together and creating that community of support, which I think no matter where you are in the world, yep, that term that we always hear and something that you've really base your entire business around is it takes a village, and who is in your corner and who's your support.
Yes.
So I'd love to let you just, you know, say hi and you know, tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in this community building aspect of your life.
Yeah, I guess high level. First off, thank you for having me. It's always fun to be on the other end of the mic. But yes, so I guess very high level. You mentioned it in my bio. I was a former, I was corporate VP of finance when my son was born. Manage teams and really like in a fast paced like corporate job. Like looking back, I'm like, whoa, first one in, last one out. I know we're going to talk about traveling. I like would work on my travel days and my husband would be like, what are you doing? But my husband always worked for like a national brand company. So he clocked in, he clocked out. That was it. Mm. I worked for a small company, right? That was growing. It was basically a startup. So I didn't mind. I'd be like, well, I'm doing it, but I have a beer in my hand and we're on the beach. Like I was just, I loved it. I loved my job. And then my son was born and everything changed. And I had kind of really pushed myself to, oh, I'm going to go back to work. Oh, all the things. And I was pressured to some extent from my employer, which is a whole nother topic that we could probably talk about in another podcast. But long story short, I really struggled. And I thought that because I had managed a team and done all of these personal development things for my career, I was like, oh, motherhood, like, you know, had a great birth, thank God, and pregnancy and all the things. And then postpartum just hit me and suffered with a lot of just anxiety, separation anxiety and worries and things that I had never felt before. And I wanted to have discussions about it, point blank, period. And those discussions that started in a podcast in 2019, kind of crazy because it feels like it was yesterday. Pre-COVID, I said, well, let me talk to women. Let's have honest conversations about what this is like. So maybe another mom listening could be like, oh, you know, changes with your partner. You may not want that career anymore. All the things. After doing that for some time, I realized, well, let's take this deeper. Maybe it needs to go further than just a 60-minute or so conversation. And then 2021, the Motherhood Village was born. At the same time, I also left corporate after my son was born. I never found a home, which is sad to kind of say. I always say like I didn't want to be a business owner, but I was kind of pushed out. I was one of those great resignation people. And I said, there's got to be a better way. Like all the things of like, we don't support working parents, all of that. And I said, how am I going to give, you know, 110% to these companies and I'm not getting it in return? And then I have this little person that needs me. So made a decision to leave and I did. And at the same time, decided to rebrand the Motherhood Village to really kind of create that village of resources for moms, not knowing what it looked like at the time. I just knew I wanted to go deeper than a 60-minute podcast conversation. Mm. Fast forward, and now you have workshops. We've collaborated. I have my summit. I'm going on the road, and it's just blossomed into a thriving just community of moms that I'm very, very thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there's so many women in our community who are just so grateful. They're like knocking on the door every month, like, let us in. Here comes the support group.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that like really like fast paced, like startup vibe. You're working on your holidays, you're working, yes, you know, on time off. How was that transition for you going from that go, 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 you're in control of your time, mm-hmm, you're in control of the energy output, to then becoming a mom and there's a little person who dictates what life is like for you now?
I think that was part of the anxiety. A lot of the women, and maybe even in the work that you do aside from traveling and all the things, but I know like with the Mindful Mamas Club that you do and the meditation and the journaling and the yoga, a lot of the women I've talked to on my podcast that kind of suffered, not the depression, but the anxiety aspect, came from a corporate background. Mm-hmm. A lot of us, the type A, the this. And I think there was a correlation because, I mean, everything was so high strung. I literally came from two entrepreneurial owners at the time that didn't just own this one company. They owned several companies. They were very entrepreneurial. And my little accounting department had to take care of all of that. So it was a lot, you know. And after having my child, I'm like, how is this one little person adding to that, you know? And through a lot of prayer, a lot of communication with my husband, friends, and then truthfully my podcast, like I just started learning like, oh, I'm not alone. Oh, this is normal. But then also saying, but it shouldn't be normal. We should have safe spaces for moms. Mm-hmm. And then hence the problem solving to create the village. But yeah, I saw a lot of correlation between corporate women and who had struggled a lot with anxiety. And maybe there is something there. Obviously, I don't know if there's been any work. I haven't looked into it like statistically, but from the conversations I've had, definitely been a thing between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, that rings true as well. I think what happens is I've done a lot of work in women's wellness, yoga therapy, and especially in the pre and postnatal space. And in a lot of other cultures around the world, there is this kind of breathing space before, yes, the baby's born. At least 2 weeks, maybe three, maybe even 4 weeks, you either stop your work, you, yes, start to slow down, you're paring back, and letting your nervous system, mm-hmm, regulate to a slower pace of life,
yes,
in the lead up to the baby being born. Whereas there's us corporate America women being like, working the day until you get into labor and doing emails in the hospital, baby's born, and then boom, you're moving at a glacial space, and your nervous system, your body, your mind wasn't prepared for that. And I do think it would be really interesting to check out some studies to see, you know, like you said, statistically what that looks like professionally into postpartum.
It's so true. And it's funny, the last couple of guests on my podcast, we talked about the nervous system, and I never put that correlation, how you're absolutely right. Like our nervous is everything. And I probably was in a lot of fight or flight unknowingly, you know, because like I said, everything, I needed it to, everything was a fire. Everything, mm-hmm, was 2 days ago. And I thrived in it as a single woman who could just come home and whatever. But now I'm breastfeeding, doing all of the things, to couple that together. Oh, it was like a makeshift, yeah, bomb ready to go off.
An explosion.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% can relate to that. Yeah. I had a very similar experience, which is I think why when you do have such a background in getting stuff done and being able to be ambitious, but then also having such a eye-opening experience through your postpartum period. That's why I see a lot of women who are doing such amazing work in the motherhood community. When you're able to take the lessons that you learn from that, yes, postpartum spirit, but then use your strengths from your corporate background, you're able to build such an amazing resource for women. So in your experience of now hosting, what, over 150 episodes or something crazy?
I think, yeah. Yeah, 150.
Congratulations, by the way. That's amazing. Yeah. Speaking to experts and leaders from all over the country, all over South Florida, running support groups where you have different leaders in different industries come in and lead those support groups. You've run a summit now. This is your second one now, mm-hmm, this year coming up.
Yeah.
Or if, I guess when this is aired, it'll have already happened, but yes, you can get ready for next year's.
Yes, absolutely.
You have heard from so many experts in so many different fields and ways to support moms. In your experience of what has helped you and what has now you've heard probably anecdotally from hundreds of women, what do you think is some of the most powerful resources that women or moms don't know that are available to them?
Oh, that's a great, beautiful question, because I think I'm still untapping that. which is crazy. And you don't know what you don't know. I think education is the foundation to everything. And it starts from before you want to get pregnant. I remember getting off birth control early because I just instinctively knew. I've been on birth control since I'm 16. I think I had turned 30 and I'm like, I should probably get off. So my body, like, I just knew, you know, come to find out. Yeah, you probably, you know, all the things. So education is key. So goodness, where can I start? I would say number one, because I just believe in mental health. I think everyone should see a therapist. Mm-hmm. I actually spoke with a woman not too long ago. She was a licensed mental health counselor. I had asked her, I was like, can you prepare for postpartum? Is there a thing? And she said, absolutely. She was like, go to a therapist, untap those things, because I think one of the biggest things that comes later on, especially as your children get older and they talk back and, you know, you're trying to understand where their large emotions come from, you get triggered. And that is very real. So definitely see a counselor, even, you know, yeah, just kind of talk it out. You don't know the traumas that, you know, you might have. So that would be one. Two, surround yourself with women. I would say, obviously, having that village, and that village can be if you may not have your mom or grandparents near you. Don't let that deter you. Mm-hmm. Seek it out. You know, I know there's Peanut, I think, and I don't necessarily want to give them the, everyone's like the ads and stuff, but I hear actually a couple of moms have found each other from my support group and they were like, oh, you were on the Peanut app. So I hear Peanut is great. Facebook groups, not so much. I tend to stay away. But yeah, I mean, join, if you go to a church, you know, seek out your girlfriends, like just try your child's preschool, I think, is another big way. Maybe mm-hmm. go to the school. If they don't have maybe a parents' night out, maybe suggest that, hey, maybe there's a get-together that the parents can have. If your child is not in school, you know, when you take a yoga class, you know, like, just try and seek it out. I would say get out the house. That's a big one, especially when the baby comes. I remember I could not. I tried and it was just like literally the anxiety was crazy. But if you can and you don't have that, definitely go out the house, go for a walk. And yeah, and just try and keep yourself active. But truthfully, one of the biggest things is to start with your mental health. Talk to someone. You don't know what will unpack from that. And then I think from there, then you can kind of figure out and start investing in your, I will end it with this, start investing, obviously we said mental health by seeing a therapist. And I know they say the baby books, I wouldn't necessarily read the baby books that are like, oh, at 6 months, the baby's this, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. And you can, but definitely after the child's born, I think one of the biggest things that happens is we prepare for an education, we get our master's. We both come from corporate, you know, we take all the certifications, all the things. But then when we have a child, it's like, okay, we read the books of what our body will happen during pregnancy, which a lot of times even the books can't explain all the things that can happen. And then baby comes and that's gone, right? So I would say, you know, read, there's so many great books, The Whole Brain Child. I need to put a book of resources together because through the 100 and something episodes, people have named some awesome books. So look out deeper and further books that can be out there that can help you look at the mind shift in parenting. And that will help, like, invest in your growth as not only as a mother, but as a woman. And that will help in your journey. That might have been a long-winded answer, but yeah. So mental health, check out some books and try and find your village, you know, different places.
Yeah. So one of your questions that you ask your guests is, what book do you recommend? Which I absolutely love. And I think you should totally make like a resource of all that. Yeah. Keep adding.
Yes.
One book that I really love is The Conscious Parent. That one's a great one.
I haven't read that yet. That's been mentioned twice.
Yeah. And I think like you said, we focus so much on the baby aspect of it when really, like, it's our perception, yes, of parenting through our own lens of our own minds. So reading books about like how our mindset shifts, mm-hmm, and where they say now about matronescence, right?
Yes.
Like that there's like almost more structurally, neurologically structural changes that happen, mm-hmm, after birth than it does happen in adolescence. So yes, it's like we are different people and that's okay. And that's what sometimes makes it hard to find that village, right? Because you don't know who you are anymore. Sometimes you've lost that identity. It's hard to put yourself out there. But truly, like once you said, once you feel like you've talked to potentially a therapist or, mm-hmm, you know, a friend or somebody that you can, yeah, trust, get your feet on the ground, feel grounded. And then it really is a matter of going, yes, out there and like putting yourself out there.
100%. I, yeah, know there's women that traveled, let's say they move differently, jobs or different things, and they had nobody. And they're like, but I found a great village because they actively sought after mm-hmm. it. And that's important to say, because I think sometimes we can get a little like isolated, especially when that transformation happens. Because like we say, no one knows what that, no one knows what your parenting journey is going to be like until you become a parent. Mm-hmm. For a mom and a dad, I don't think we talk enough about dads too and what that transformation is like, but definitely for a mother, because we've now just birthed the baby and we have our hormones and all the crazy things. But definitely seek after it if you can. And yeah, try and read all those kind of books. Like you said, The Conscious Parent, I heard, is good. The Whole Brain Child. Dr. Becky has a good book. Like, there's some really good resources out there where, mm-hmm. you know how they say, like, there's no manual? There isn't, but there are great books and different things that can help you tap in to what's happening.
This episode is brought to you by Child & Company. Child & Company is South Florida's first family-friendly office space featuring private offices, a professional content creation studio, and childcare for hybrid work and work-from-home parents located in Boca Raton. Child & Company is founded on the belief that you shouldn't have to choose between raising a family and being career-driven. Their core mission is to create an environment where family and work can exist in harmony. The best part to me as a mom is that you can pop in and breastfeed your baby or have lunch with your toddler if you like, and then pop back into your office for your Zoom meeting, which I think is so key, especially for newborn moms going back to work. It's the perfect transition from emerging out of the newborn bubble and getting back to the business you love. Child & Company provides you the flexibility to work in a beautifully designed, ergonomic private office with insanely good Wi-Fi connection and soundproofing while just being steps away from your child. They have monthly themes that they base their lessons on, like exploring the animals of the Amazon, which I obviously love when children get opportunities to learn more about the world and build a sense of curiosity. Child & Company offers weekly and monthly classes and events like Zumbini, music class for babies, mindful cooking for toddlers, big kid yoga, and mindful mama community events, and so much more. I've been a member since February 2023, utilizing their private offices and their professional content creation studio. Child & Company is where all of the magic happens for this podcast. Their beautiful recording studio is soundproofed with state-of-the-art equipment, microphones, lighting, and cameras. So you can record your podcast, course content, meditation clips, and anything else you might want to record for your business. The Child & Company team truly feels like family. They are an extension of my team over here at Rising Nature Retreats and the Transform with Travel podcast, as well as an extension of my own family. If you're local to Palm Beach and Broward County, do yourself a favor and check out Child & Company. Visit www.childandcompany.com or head over to Instagram at Child & Company.
Yeah, I heard a quote the other day that said, parenting is a learned skill. It's like, we're not innately, you have a mothering instinct, of course, and sometimes you don't actually feel that instinct. I certainly didn't feel that instinct right away, and that's okay. But to like continually remind yourself that we're learning as we go.
Yes.
And it gives a lot of compassion, a lot of grace for our parents learning as they went too. And there's just a lot of unraveling that happens.
For sure.
So you mentioned that mental health, like number one, seek out the support. From what I gather from talking to you and on social media is that you really do prioritize your self-care and you really do prioritize your partnership yes. with your husband. And whether you have a husband or not, or a partner, some form of a significant family relationship or just a significant caregiver in your life that helps you, so being able to prioritize that relationship with sure. that person. What to you like was like that mindset shift for you, being like, okay, I have to prioritize myself. And what does that look like for you when you do prioritize self-care, community, or friends? What does that look like for you?
So I didn't know it until, again, talking to guests, and a lot of the experts were telling me that you will know when you need something, when your level of frustration, whether with your partner or your child, is exponentially, right? And we kind of know that, because we can kind of know it if we snap at our partner pre-kids and be like, oh, well, I'm a little stressed. But I don't know, it's something that happens with children. I guess it's the mom brain where we don't put the two and two together. So very quickly learned that, oh, I'm snapping because of this. I've been very fortunate. I have a lot of self-awareness on many different levels, for better or for worse. So I can easily just kind of hit me. I'm like, oh, well, why am I snapping at him right now? Is it because I'm really annoyed because he's XYZ? Or is it because I stayed up late? I'm running late and it's really on me. And then that allows me, when I kind of put that perspective, to have more grace for him, to say he's only five. It's not his fault. Mommy's running behind. And mm-hmm. I try and literally within the moment think of all of that to say, okay, let me give him a hug instead of being like, no, we have to go. So instinctively, so after talking to some experts, that kind of kept putting into my mind like, oh, okay, it's I'm missing something. So that was that. But then my partnership came because, truthfully, I, in the beginning of after my son was born, to be very transparent, I was so worried that I was like, are my husband and I ever going to be back in sync? And I know this is true for a lot of couples, not all, but my husband and I traveled, I don't know, I think like 40 something times before our son was born in a matter of a few years. Mm-hmm. Like we traveled the world, we were like this, and then this little guy came and I couldn't freaking stand him. And we just weren't seeing eye to eye on just like the most basic stuff. So again, self-awareness, therapy, I had to see, okay. And I had a guest on my podcast tell me that one of her friends, one of the greatest advice she got from her girlfriends was, remember that your partner's never going to do it the way you do it and just let it go. And I was like, oh, I wish I would have heard that like 4 years ago, yeah, 3 right? years ago, because it sounds like, yeah, it makes sense, but yeah, it really is. So I just had to let that go because I'm like, God, I love this man so much. But at the same time, I'm like, he's getting on my nerves. Why aren't we reconnecting? What's missing? Where's the intimacy factor? So once I started recognizing again the self-awareness of like, oh no, like I feel us like this instead of really working as a team. Somehow in the midst of all of my anxiety and stuff, then I was like, all right, well, I also need to prioritize my husband and I, because if him and I start really, then I'm really going to falter mm-hmm. because he is, despite me not being able to stand him at this moment for whatever reason, is my rock and my support system. So we had to kind of, I had to like bring it back. We had to start traveling again. I had to learn to kind of like bring the grandparents in and really utilize the village that we had so that we could reconnect. And most importantly, be honest with him and saying, these are my unmet needs. I feel this way when you do this. How do we bring it back? And truthfully, it took a while for us to kind of get back to that. So yeah. I guess if I answered that, hopefully.
Yeah, you yeah. totally did. So it sounds like to me that travel was a really big part of your yes. relationship pre-kids, and that it actually seems like it was a part of you guys coming back yes. together. Can you talk a little bit about like life, like traveling pre-kids, pre-COVID? So you had your son pre-COVID, so you traveled with each other yes. pre-kids. You had your son. You traveled a little bit with him, yeah. then COVID hit and things went crazy. So can you just tell me a little bit about like that yeah. journey of what that meant for you guys as a relationship when you were first starting to date? And it was almost like the catalyst to your own healing in your relationship.
Sure. Well, when my husband and I first started dating, he had looked at me, he's like, listen, I travel with or without you, babe. Like I travel. And I laugh and I was like, okay. He's like, no. Like if you can't afford a ticket, if you can't come, this was like early on when we were not sharing anything. He's like, I'm gone. I'm like, okay. And then I remember the first time I don't think I could get the time off. And he went to New York to visit some family and friends. And I was like, oh, like you really, he's like, look, every few months, like this is what I do. And my husband has a lot of family everywhere. So I want to preface with that because I had thought I traveled the few times I went like on family trips, but my husband, like, I don't even know how many countries he's been to. So he really implemented that for me, which is why it was a catalyst to healing, because that is his healing process. Mm. You know, he works a really demanding corporate job. He's a software, was an engineer, now software developer. So every few months I even after us dating could feel like, oh, he needs an outlet. We need to go somewhere. So I guess to kind of talk about like the different stages. Yeah. I mean, we saw the world together, and I'm sure you can attest to this, like, well, maybe not in the sense of, I think traveling could either bring you closer or you realize that yeah. you're not, because we've been on trips with friends that we were like, never again.
I've been there too, I get it.
Yeah, and then there's some people that it just meshes well. And my husband and I, from day one, I remember he was kind of testing me too with our trip to Atlanta. And I remember we were just driving down the road and I instinctively knew, and I'm like, I could do this for the rest of my life. Like, it was just like we just synced up. Mm. And that's kind of how traveling was for us. So when little guy came, we knew immediately we wanted to travel as well. We also kind of toyed with the fact that he would probably be an only child. So we said, okay, or I said mostly, I said, if he is, well, you have family everywhere, then we're going to have him see the world. Like, we're going to take him everywhere as much as we can. He's going to know he has family, and that, he, you know, I just had this thing of like an only child thinking like maybe like they don't have family. Mm. So I was like, he's got to know like there's somewhere for, like he could go anywhere and he has someone. And that's what we did. So for the first 2 years, goodness, he had went to Trinidad, Canada. We visited family in Washington, D.C. Like, I think he had stamps on his passport a couple times. We got him global entry. Like, we did all the things. And then, yeah, and then COVID came and we were stuck. And then it truthfully, we haven't even gotten back into how we actually used to travel pretty frequently. We used to do probably 3 or 4 trips a year. Now it's maybe 2 or 3, maybe 2 big ones. And yeah, I mean, as a family, it's just, you know, I think the same thing is there. It's just a connection. There's something about traveling. You're going to a new place. You're trying new food. And, you know, my husband and I have a great balance because he has zero structure to his traveling. But it's good because I don't necessarily need to have an itinerary, but I do like to know, okay, if we're going, you know, Washington, D.C., well, what are some good museums we can throw on the day? Where my husband's like, he'll just go with the wind. So we kind of bridge the two, but we love to eat, try all the restaurants, go off the beaten path. And that's what we hope to continue to do for our son. We took him to Hawaii last year. So yeah, he's done some pretty big trips with us already. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, the appreciation factor, I think will come later with children. But I can say this, if anyone out there hasn't taking your kids or you're afraid, like, will they remember? Is it worth it? He still talks about a trip. We went to Georgia like a couple years ago. We stayed in the mountains. He's like, I want to go back to Georgia. So there is something there, I think, with our children. And you hope that over time, there'll be a small thing that they might remember. And the pictures help. I think when they see that, it's just awesome. So yeah, so I hope to continue to travel with him, and we will. But yeah, pre-COVID, pre-kids, we were out. And yeah, then, you know, you have a family and you go with it. But we still try and include him. We definitely didn't want him to hinder us traveling, other than, of course, cost would play a factor. Like, okay, is it worth him coming? But we try. We might not be able to try to travel all the time, my husband and I. But if we can't, we definitely try and do staycations together to reconnect.
Yeah. So I definitely want to touch on the staycation thing in a second. But I would love, you mentioned about your husband.
Yeah.
Really opening up the world for you.
Yeah.
And how it is a part of his de-stress. It's a part of his way to be able to just get rid of, you know,
yeah,
deal with some anxiety, you know, like, yeah, traveling just for some people is their healing, right?
Yes.
So then COVID hits and you're stuck. What was that like for you guys as a relationship and like for him to be able to kind of manage that feeling of, oh, like I'm here and I can't go anywhere and I can't see family and, you know.
Sure. Actually, it wasn't as bad as I thought. It really wasn't. Like, I remember we looked at each other and I don't know if other couples did this and we're like, oh, I guess we really like you. Like, we were cool in our pot. Thankfully, yeah, like cool. We had a pool. We walked around the neighborhood. Let's see, everything closed March. Maybe like 4 months later, we were ready in Sarasota. But you remember at that time, you know, like we kind of knew, okay, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad. So we had we booked, like I think that August, we did a small thing where we're like, all right, if you can't travel, then we'll do a small staycation, kind of stay to ourselves. And that's what we did. So I guess we still did. We still kind of did a staycation, but even after, like, because my husband likes to do international travel. That's like his jam through and through. It hasn't been as bad. Mm. It has, even still, because he's been to Africa a couple times since. But yeah, I mean, I think it comes with age. He knew like once having kids, he's like, all right, we're not going to be traveling as much.
Yeah, it's going to slow down a little bit.
Exactly. I think what he gets out of traveling, and tell me if it's the same for you, because I know that's a big thing that you love to do as well. He loves connecting with people. He's such an introvert. But there's something about traveling. And I remember when we first started dating and my own like healing journey of this, I'm like, why does he talk to everybody? And this random chick at the, like, what is he doing? And I used to be like, what? And then over time I realized, I'm like, no, that just is, it could be an old man. It could be a young woman. It could be whoever. He just loves talking and connecting with people. And we have met some amazing people on our travels. Some people that we're Facebook friends with that I know that if I went back to XYZ, we would connect with. So I think that's what he really loves it for, is because of that, is the connections. And yeah.
And truly, sure, like, you can get that connection, whether you're doing a staycation, absolutely, down in Hollywood, Florida, or you're going, yes, to Botswana on a safari. And that's what's been the really cool thing about starting this podcast, was I haven't had to reach out to any strangers or, you know, yeah, anything to do the podcast, because I just have friends all over the world. And I'm like, hey, guys, in Australia, in New Zealand, in, yes, Indonesia, in the UK. And it's just like you said, if I said, hey, I'm going to be in Bali in October, yeah, can I sleep at your house? And I would be like, this one person that I met diving once, you know, 10 years ago, yes, I'd be like, yes, absolutely. And same thing when people come and stay here. Like, you always have a room here. Come stay with us, which is the coolest part.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, because you would think, like, isn't it crazy? Because, like, we can meet a stranger here and be maybe a little, like, guarded.
Yeah.
But it's something when you're on vacation, I don't know if it's like your true spirit comes out because you're just like gone and you just attract that. But there is something to that, because you might meet someone here and be like, okay, yeah, whatever. And might see you 10 times and not think that. But this one person that you said met on a diving expedition on a boat and be like, oh, come stay. And you're like, sure.
Exactly. I know. I really do think there's something too, like you said, your highest self when you're traveling for specific people. For some people, traveling can feel very, you know, anxious and overwhelming.
That's true.
Definitely for me and my husband, we're at our absolute best when we're traveling. And so my husband's the exact same. Like, every couple weeks, he's like, all right, I need to make sure I have a trip to look forward to in a little bit. And that's something that we do. That's like investing in our relationship. Yeah. So we do, once a year, we go away for at least five nights away from the girls. And it's getting a little harder as they get older because they get sad when we leave.
Yes.
But it sounds like you and your husband do staycations quite regularly. Can you explain the magic of a staycation and what that looks like for you guys?
Yeah, I think we're very blessed because we live in Florida.
Yeah.
So we can go from the bottom Keys to St. Augustine, Jacksonville. And I am really open. So is my husband. I had a business conference. We went to Indianapolis once and my husband was like, cool, I'll check. Like, that's just, you know, it's something new. I think the magic of a staycation in South Florida is because we've been very thankful and lucky that a lot of the hotels here can make you feel like you're in a different world. And if you really go in with an open heart and an open mind to that, you can feel like you're somewhere else, even if you're down in Fort Lauderdale Beach. And that's kind of how we take it. It's like, yeah, let's have a couple nights of just us. It's so funny because our last couple trips, I mean, we used to be those late nights, let's check out all the bars, have a drink or two. Now, no, we were in Antigua recently and we had my mother-in-law. So we're like, yes, Jace can go to sleep. No, we did not go out one time that whole trip. It's different, right? You get older, but it's still we enjoyed, you know, we went cliff hiking on the cliffs and the beach. So of course the sun rocks you, but we were like, oh, such different times.
Yeah.
So a staycation recently that we did, we kind of stayed in the hotel, ordered room service. And but I think Florida, we're very fortunate. So it's a little unfair, I think, because other people could be like, oh, they can't, they might not be able to. But even still, even if it's just into the city, let's say you live in the suburbs and you go into the city, I think if you go in with an open mind, eat at a restaurant you've never been to, kind of have like yourself catered to that way, I think it'd feel like you're in New York City or somewhere else for sure.
Exactly. It's like encapsulating that feeling of travel, even if you're not even staying overnight somewhere. It's like trying just even a new restaurant.
I will give one tip too. There was a woman, we took the Brightline train and we took it up to Palm Beach. And we were coming back from Palm Beach to the Fort Lauderdale train station. And she said every time she travels, she takes the Brightline to Fort Lauderdale. She's like, I don't have my husband or anyone take me. She's like, because it's the start of my trip. And I was like, oh, I love that. She was like, because I get catered to, I take the VIP, I have my drink. So to going back to that point, it's like, take a, I don't know, maybe there's a train or something that you can take and start so that as if you're mentally preparing to go somewhere. And she said when she even stays in hotels down in Fort Lauderdale as well, which is only, what, a 45-minute drive, maybe an hour, if that. Same thing. They take the Brightline and they kind of make it like as if they're
starting the trip early.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like really cool way to just enhance the trip there. I feel the same way about things changing. Like me and my husband, we were in Southeast Asia in our early 20s and we were at the full moon parties. We're doing the pub crawls. We met in a pub crawl in Ireland. And now we did a staycation in Fort Lauderdale for my birthday in August of this year. And it was like 4 p.m. at the hotel. We're hearing the whole party down at the pool and we're looking down there and we're like, ooh, I think we're just going to read a book and close the curtains and like sit in silence.
Yes.
And that's just what it is now. But like, that's a beautiful escape for us, you know, because, life with kids is crazy and it's beautiful and crazy. But just to have like a quiet night away is awesome because you know what it's like to travel with your son, especially in those early, early days. You said between 0 and 2, he was really traveling all over the place.
Yeah. And I would say to parents, because I know you mentioned the anxiety thing, and that's really good to talk about. Anyone listening to this, listen, if you do have little ones, I get it, but I'm sure you can attest to this too. A lot of things, especially in parenthood, motherhood seems so fearful and daunting if it's never happened before, which makes sense. You've never done XYZ. what kind of gets me back into like center is I'll be like, all right, well, I'm not the first one to travel with my child. And no one has like ever, you know, think of like the worst possible thing. Like, okay, we're just traveling. Like I try and center it. I also try and center and say our parents had much, much less and sometimes zero resources and made through. So I kind of put things in that perspective. And I had a girlfriend who took her sons to Paris recently. And this came up because she's like, I have so much anxiety, so much anxiety. And I was like, listen, I've taken little guy. And she's like, yes, but I have two. And her little one is like the true and true, like second one wild, you know, where my little guy is very fortunate. He nursed the whole way, slept. Yes. Right. She was like, but we made it. She was like, I brought all the snacks. I said, girl, you make it. No one threw you off the airplane. Like, you know, like you just make it and you get through it. So she's like, oh, I did it. And we can do it again. I said, exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyone listening, I know it can seem daunting as all things new can be, but it's worth it. And just pack all the snacks and all the things, which I'm sure you'll have resources or things for like parents traveling because you shared some stuff. That's all you can do. And just be open mind. I think as long as you're good and try and like center yourself, the kids kind of follow as well.
Absolutely. I actually really appreciate that point because like I didn't just magically know how to travel with a 10-month-old or a 3-year-old. Like, and half the time, like I always tell my friends, I'm like, expect the worst. Not to like stop you from doing it, but just like set the bar really low and then just like arrive and be like, okay, we did it. Because parenting is hard whether you're at home or whether you're abroad. It's more convenient at home. I've said this before on the podcast. It's more convenient at home because all your all your comfort, you know, things are at home. Yes. Your favorite parks, you know how to deal. Might as well parent with a view. It's hard no matter where you are. So just go explore the world and yeah, flying is hard for adults. Yeah. It's hard for little ones. You just got to get there and then realize, okay, I survived this. And I always tell myself this with each trip we take, the girls get a little older and a little older and a little older. And so every trip I'm like, this is the hardest it's going to be. And I survived this. And then the next trip, this is the hardest it's going to be. And then I survived this. And of course, every stage, every age has its own challenge.
Yes.
But in terms of flying and keeping kids occupied, it gets easier and easier as they get older.
This episode is sponsored by Rising Nature Retreats. Are you feeling called to explore the world, tick off your bucket list, and make lifelong friends along the way? Are you overwhelmed from planning the logistics of your trips or sick of feeling like you need a vacation from your vacation when you return home? Rising Nature Retreats offers world-class travel experiences infused with daily yoga and wellness, personal development workshops, unique adventure and cultural excursions, and holistic local cuisines. Experience the world as you elevate your wellness. Return home feeling rejuvenated and empowered to bring what you learn about other cultures and about yourself back home with you. This is the adventure you've been waiting for. Join us in 2024 to explore Thailand, Portugal, or Greece. Visit risingnatureretreats.com or at Rising Nature Retreats on Instagram and Facebook for all the brochures and information on upcoming international retreats and local classes and events in South Florida.
100%. And I did a post on this recently when we came back from Antigua too, where I was just like, have the grace and let go of any of the expectations that the bedtime's going to go okay. I remember my husband and I did take one trip. I think it was to North Carolina. We rented out a cabin with the family and I was still my type A, like bedtime. And I remember getting annoyed at my husband because I was like, why doesn't he care? And he's like, we're on vacation. I'm like, I know, but he needs sleep. He's like, no, he will sleep when he's tired. He's like, we're on vacation. Why are you doing this to yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, because he was like going to the bar with his brother. And I was like, I can't go because I'm putting him to sleep. He was like, that's on you. Leave him with my mom. And I had to really, that was such an eye opener for me because I was like, why am I freaking out over this? We are on vacation, like let it go. So the last couple of times, and most recently in Antigua, I did. And yeah, he slept when he slept and woke up when he woke up and got back into the groove when we got home. Like I was like, oh, okay, we survived it, right? Because it was something new for me. I'm like, he's getting older. He needs to sleep. He's starting school. My husband's like, he will be fine and he will adjust. And he was fine and he adjusted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a couple hard days because he didn't have the sleep that he needed. And you survive. And you know what? You survived in Antigua. So yeah.
Exactly.
Like with the drink in your hand on the beach.
Yes.
So it just is what it is. You talk a lot about wanting to introduce your son to new cultures and letting him know that he has a home all around the world with just his different family members and not to be afraid of the world. Why, or I guess the question is, what are you hoping to instill in your son by bringing him on all of these adventures with you and your husband?
Ooh, I love that too. I think because no matter where you're from, whether the United States or wherever, I think where you're from is your only thing of what you know. Right? Again, you don't know what you don't know. And although the books and the things can tell us certain things, until you really experience it, you just don't know. And like I said, we've met some beautiful people on our trips, some different cultures. I think it's so important for him, in my opinion, and for children to know like the world is bigger than what we think we are, and to really let go of the entitlement. I also want him to see, like, even in Antigua, like, he was like, mommy, these houses, like, they don't, I was like, I know, baby. And you could just see, like, the thoughts in his eyes. I mean, he's getting older, he'll be six, of like, wow. And I'm like, I know. I'm like, and you know, some of them don't have running water. And he was like, what? Like, I think the appreciation that can come from that, that's a big one for me of raising children, or my son, to like really just be in gratitude. And truthfully, I don't think you can be until you experience and realize, oh, I thought I had it bad. Mm-hmm. No, you know? So yeah, it's just open. I think, you know, it's just, we can learn so much from when we, again, kind of let go of our egos and expand our like open mind and foods and drinks. Like anytime we travel, like I was like, I want to go where the locals are. I want to eat the local food, the local beer, whatever your local thing is. And yeah, there's just something special about that. It kind of makes you feel, it drops your ego. And I think we can all develop that on any way, shape or form. I mean, look, you read this great bio. And if I carry that with me, like, yes, I'm this. And then knowing that, you know, traveling is like, oh no, I'm still just a part of this world. We're all trying to make it. I think it just kind of resets us and make us back to understand like, no, we're, the world is much bigger. Yeah. And we're not the only ones that have the answers, and to learn from one another. So that's what I hope that he takes from it.
Yeah. Like putting things in perspective for sure. Yeah. So absolutely. I love that idea of your son being able at such a young age, really being able to get a sense of a bigger picture, right? Yes. That there's more of the world to see, and that there is just so much to learn from people from all over the world. It's such a important thing. And I think you mentioned before how people always say, you know, your kids aren't going to remember. It's, they're too young. They're too this. But he asked even about a trip when he was really, really tiny. They remember memorable experiences.
Yes.
Right? It gets imprinted in their brains. And the more novel new things that we can do, not just for ourselves, but for our kids, those are the little experiences that pop out in the timeline of their life.
100%.
And they'll remember those things.
And not only that, think about any experience you've had. You might not remember specifically, but just the thought of it, if it was a memorable thing or even a bad experience, you'll feel it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he might not remember where we stayed, exactly what we did, but even just the name of North Carolina or Georgia or whatever can like bring about like a positive like reaction to it, and or going back pictures and he's like, oh, we really did that. It's just so, so important. So we never, I mean, my husband has laughed and he's like, oh, because we're going to Italy next year. And he's like, babe, you know how much these tickets are? And just for him, because he's past two.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, but I don't want to leave him for the week. I want him to come. And he's like, yeah. And then I was like, this is why we have the one child, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I was like, let's rock and roll. And he was like, nope, you're right. So of course that comes with it. But I mean, he'll be approaching seven. So I'm like, absolutely want him to experience
Italy. He's at like prime age.
He's going to experience
that so beautifully.
Yes. I'm like, I wonder if he'll want to come home. Have you been to Italy yet on your travels?
Yes, not with the kids yet. So one of our previous podcast guests, Wendy Pomerantz, she just did 6 weeks with her seven-year-old and three-year-old through Italy on like a little road trip. And she said it was just so cool seeing her kids, you know, interact with the culture.
That's a real culture.
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
So awesome. Yeah, we did it before. We did 2015. And immediately when I left Italy, I said, I need to, one day we will have a property there, the most magical place. I loved it. I mean, I'm Italian, so I'm kind of biased, but we're going to Sicily this time around. So
amazing. Do you, is your family from Sicily?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, from a small town. Jeez, my starts with a T. It's slipping me now. But yeah, from a little small town. I don't know if even I have any family still alive. Rubiano's the maiden name, so we're going to go check. I think my mom is coming and my dad. So yeah, it'll be awesome. But yeah, I told my husband, I was like, we're bringing him, like, he'll be seven. Like, that's prime time. We're making pizza and like adding things. I think that's another thing when you're traveling with children is trying to find experiences though too. You can't expect them to go to a million museums and they're going to be like, you also have to, again, set your expectations and the bar low.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Gosling was talking about that. He took his daughter to the Louvre in Paris and she was like, this is boring. And, you know, and I'm like, what? But it is. Like, yeah. You can say, what do you mean? She won't recognize it now. Maybe in pictures, she might say, wow, we actually saw that. But I'm like, yeah, like, set your expectations low with the kids. But they'll still find wonder in just, I think, even seeing what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe even if they're not really understanding the impact it is, they'll still have some wonder.
Yeah. Totally. You've mentioned a couple times pictures. Yes. And your son looking back at pictures and be like, oh, Georgia. Oh, yes. North Carolina. Oh, next year, Italy. How important is that for you to be able to show him those memories? And would you recommend that for parents to be able to remind their kids of their experiences?
For sure. Actually, I did it for us too, because I'm like, everything is in our phone. And I was like, what happens to photo albums? I am not the mom that does like the Pinterest photo albums for all the things. But what I started doing, and I did it last year and I'm going to do it this year, is I printed photo books from, I think, Shutterfly. And literally kind of did a timeline and picked out the most important things throughout the year, including our travels.
Yeah.
So he has a book that we can even go through. So I kind of keep it on the coffee table. And it says, I think it's 2020, 2021, because obviously 2020, we didn't have as much going on. So I was able to put the two. And then I'll have one. Oh, goodness, did I do 2022? Yeah, I did do 2022. And then I'll have the one for this year for 2023. So, yeah, I think it's important. I think it's important for us to remember, too, because I think, again, perspective, especially as I'm getting older, we're always looking for the next best thing. Especially as entrepreneurs, business owners. I know you and I do events. It's always like, what's next? And sometimes we kind of lose sight of the moments. Mm. And I want to just remember that. And I'm like, goodness, there's no more. Truly, one of the biggest things was like, you don't see the photo albums anymore. Yeah. Everything is like electrical, digital. And yeah, so I started printing out the books, and that's been awesome. So you'll see him kind of go through and he's like, where was this again?
Yeah. So it's like almost like yearbooks for yourself, which is really 100%. Cool. I showed Layla, she turned three, my oldest turned three a couple weeks ago. And I was showing her, I made an album of her first year. So even just like all the iPhone photos, and I'll do it for Indy, who's my youngest, who's turning one soon. And I was showing Layla pictures of, I was like, this was you as a baby. She's like, that's not me. I'm not a baby. And she's like, just trying to reconcile the fact that she's growing. And so that's been on my list of things to do, is go back and make photo albums for each of our major trips, because kids, they remember through photos. They remember 100%. Through like revisiting those experiences again.
Yes.
And so it's such a simple way of bringing those to life. And like you said, we've got 20,000 photos on our phone. We are never going back and looking at them. You're never going to do that. No.
It's just taking up space. You're getting anxiety because you see all the things. I know for me, I know iPhone users, you guys always find your photo from like 20 years ago. I can never. I'm Android and I'm like, I can't. Like, yeah. I need to print them out and then either delete them or whatever. But yeah, like, we just don't see them anymore. And I think that nostalgia of going back, reflecting, I think is just something awesome to have. But yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's a yearbook. It's a yearbook of what the year was like.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So you have a lot going on, right? You've got your community building, motherhood resource business, podcast, your marriage, your son, your family, I guess, as an entity. You've got self-care, which you've stated is so important to you, your own mental health. You've got travel, which is a part of that really mental health resource for yourself, as well as building adventure with your own family. On top of that, just business and, you know, running a household. So there's a lot going on. What has that been like for you, kind of learning your capacity or your threshold of learning, okay, when to throttle back and when to push forward? Because I think that's such a tricky balance, but it is such a tricky balance to kind of learn when we can dive really deep into our business, when we need to throttle back and focus on our family. When do we do all these things at once? Like, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, and I definitely don't have the answer to that.
Yeah.
So what I, you know, of like,
that's $1 million question, the $1 trillion question.
But truthfully, what has helped me, and I know I'm older than you, and the reason why age is important, because we also don't talk about what happens to our bodies once we turn 40, which is a whole nother aspect of wellness I want to get into for women parenting at 40. I am exhausted. And again, you're talking about a girl who could like run circles, be up late and do all the things, multitask her butt off. I manage teams for six companies. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. So I love this question because I really like the past few years of struggling, like, do I do what they say in the morning? Do I have a morning routine? Do I have an evening routine? Like, I listen to all the things. It comes back to yourself, comes back to center. And I'm like, what does Nicole need? I know I'm an early bird. I know I'm a morning person. I had to look in the mirror and say, well, you can't work out at night like you used to, right? I still have the mom guilt with my son because I do have a lot of events. It tends to pull me away. So I said, well, I can only work out in the morning, and it had to be at 5 a.m. So that was one thing, right? I had to just nip that in the butt, and I have. I do it 5 a.m. 3 days a week and have been pretty much since February, and that's been great for me. So it's recognizing what you need. And I still kind of struggle with it, but truthfully, perfect example, we're in the midst of the summit, and I also have consulting clients, and yesterday was like a doozy. And I say, like, I put on my kind of my glasses and get ready. And when I'm in my zone, I'm in my zone. But I know my capacity can only go for so long. I'm older now. I don't have it as much as I used to. You know, my husband and I both don't. Like, we're just tired. Couple that with trying to be a present parent for a child who now talks. Because like you said, she's talking more. The questions are going to come. The feelings. Like, it's... No one prepares you for that shift. They really don't, know from like the newborn to then like toddler kids to now big kids or little big kids age of like the 4-ish, 5-ish. So it's a lot to be present and to handle the emotions. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe someone was making fun of them, to like really talk through that. So yeah, so I just try and I know what my capacity is, and I'll tell myself, all right, Nicole, like today you can stay up to 1 a.m., but tomorrow you're going to sleep in. So I text my coach this morning. I'm like, I'm not making it. Like, I had to just, nope, I'll do a makeup thing. Like, instead of pushing, like maybe I would have done even at your age or back or even younger, or maybe even just last year, I'll be like, oh, I can push through it. I can no longer push through. I just cannot. And I have learned to kind of really set those boundaries, to say no and not feeling sorry. I was supposed to go to a birthday party this Saturday, and my text to them was literally, I am so sorry I RSVP'd. Yes, I put too much on my calendar for this. I am not going to be able to make it. And she was like, no, no problem. You have to just set those boundaries and recognize when you need it. And I knew I just couldn't. I said, if I go to a birthday party, like, what am I doing to myself? And I'm just trying to stay true to that. That's a big one for me. Yeah.
I really love that question. What does Nicole need right now? Because what Nicole needs right now might be different to what Nicole needs tomorrow and what Nicole needs the next day. And like asking yourself daily, does Nicole need a workout? Okay, let's do it. Does she need some rest? Does she need to actually just like put the blinders on and work so she gets that to-do list through? Because sometimes that causes anxiety.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking to someone about that. I was like, I remember I kept seeing this laundry basket. I'm like, if I don't do this laundry basket, like, I'm going to fall over. So I said, okay, put my work to the side, do the laundry basket, and I watch TV and I did the laundry basket. I think that's so key. You have to find out what you need in that moment. And that for me has helped, instead of me trying to plan and say, well, I'm going to schedule this. No, my workouts are scheduled and might be some other things, but for the most part, it's day to day, girl. It's like, listen, you need to stay up till midnight because you have a project due, and that just is what it is. But then I know I'm going to stay in late, and I might cancel some things I have the next day, and I'm going to be okay with that.
Yeah, being okay with the canceling too. Yes. They're like,
oh, I used to not be.
The recovering people pleaser, you know, especially with my perfectionism and corporate and all the things.
Yes.
Learning how to just say no and being okay with that. Because 9 times out of 10, everyone understands. If you're honest, exactly.
Yes, and you just tell them, I think most people, again, it's the fear of what we think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the paper, oh yeah, I could never. I remember when I had to cancel my first podcast conversation, and then I had to think, wait a minute, they're coming on my show. And not to be again, but I'm like, I can cancel. It's my show.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I don't ever want to make anyone inconvenience, but I'm like, if I have something and I'm not in the right capacity, I need to be in the right capacity and mindset to have this kind of conversation. Doesn't it take a lot to have the conversation, to be, I don't want to come in whatever. Once I started being honest and say, listen, nobody has ever been like, well, I'm never, you know, they've been like, okay, completely understand.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so it is okay to say, can we push this? The world doesn't end.
Well, especially when 9 times out of 10, you show up, right?
Yes.
It's not like you're like constantly flaking. And I think that's what reminds you, like, consistency is key. So that when sometimes you have to make adjustments, people understand that like you're a consistent person, you're reliable, and things happen and life happens, especially as an entrepreneur, as a mom, as all the things. Yeah. So I'd love to just kind of like wrap up a little bit, but by ending with like what you've learned about yourself, or kind of like circling back to the very beginning of like your business of the Motherhood Village and community building and being a resource for moms and just really being able to be that like connector for so many moms in South Florida and really now, you know, all over with your podcast and everything. It's massive. What have you really learned about yourself through this process of community building and through this process of running your business as being a mom?
I guess a few things. One, that I can't do it all. right? I have to practice what I preach. I'm telling all these moms, like, reach out, go to your village. So for sure, communication is the most important thing. I think you don't know what you don't know. Perception is everything. So I'd rather be honest and direct than having someone perceive it's something else. And that's in business as well. I think a lot of times, again, that fear comes and we're thinking, again, what is their perception going to be? So I try and be as direct and honest as I can be and transparent. And I think what I've also learned is to kind of just enjoy the little things, and that time goes so, so fast. So with the business, you know, you mentioned the balance too with the question. And I had a lady, I think at the market, at the fair that we were at, was like, oh, you're everywhere. You know, she's like, are you even home at night? And I'm like, actually I am. Again, like I have 3 support groups at night and I try and justify, okay, where am I going to be at what time? But then I'll make it up to my son and say, okay, the next morning I'm going to sleep in, we're going to cuddle, I'm going to take you to school, I'm going to make pancakes. That has been a balance for me. And I will also say another thing I've learned is to be really, really, and how do I say this, strict with my time and knowing and doing a really, really good job of saying, is it worth going to or really should I not go to? Mm. I think at this point I can kind of see and shift. And if it's something that I feel, I won't go, because obviously spending time with my family is always going to be number one, but also knowing I have to show up, I have to do networking events, you know, the kind of events that I do. And just because you say you have this wonderful product or thing and you think, oh, everyone will come. No, you have to put in the work to get the word out, to have to build the relationships, because I'm all about relationship building. So yeah, so I think what I've learned, I guess to sum it up, top 3 things is communication is key, to set kind of really the boundaries of different things and knowing where I'm going to spend my time, because my time is so, 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 so critical. Time moves so fast. And to really just appreciate the small moments and not take things too seriously. Yeah. I've learned that in business and motherhood, like don't take things so seriously. And I have, and I'm still working on it, but to kind of like just let it flow.
Yeah, let I think flow. Those are like universal truths right there for sure.
Yeah.
So we always wrap up these episodes with these rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And I haven't shared with you before, so we'll see what pops up for you.
Sure.
And they're travel related.
Love it.
And I know we spoke a lot about how travel's been just so integral within your own healing, within your relationship, now with your son. So number one is, if you could only go back to one country, town, or place, like for the rest of your life, only one place you could go back to, where would it be and why?
Booty, Tuscany, because it was the most beautiful place I had ever been. It's a small little town in Tuscany.
Ooh, I'm going to add that one to my list. Yeah. I love asking this question because now my list is getting bigger and bigger. So I love that.
Love it.
Okay. Number two is, what is number one on your bucket list right now?
Australia.
All right. I'll give you all the tips.
Yeah.
Awesome. What makes you want to go there?
I just hear it's so beautiful, Australia and New Zealand. Like, I know that's a whole other side of the world type of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I just hear it's beautiful and you can do so many different things. And yeah, like, I don't know. I just kind of always had a thing. And it's a bucket list because it's on the other side of the world. Like, we did Thailand. We did the Maldives already, which I know is on a lot of people's bucket list, which I would like to go back to do because I was pregnant when we did the Maldives.
Oh, wow.
And we went to Thailand, which was a whole different experience, I'm sure, than had I not been pregnant. But yeah, I don't know. I just heard great things about Australia. It's on my husband's bucket list. Also Ireland and Scotland, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's
to stay in a castle. Always have. Yeah.
Ireland's amazing. And Ireland's actually super child friendly. Like, really? I don't know anything about Scotland because I haven't been yet. We're hoping to go next year. But Ireland with Layla, she was 20 months when we took her. And I would happily go back to Ireland.
Really?
Any year I'll go back.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Super, super easy to travel. Australia's also will be awesome with kids
nice,
too.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. Number three is, what has been your biggest life lesson that you've learned through traveling?
Oh, gratitude and have perspective. Like, I remember we were in Africa. We were staying in this beautiful condo, but the water we couldn't drink. The power kept going out. We had no AC, but I was having a hell of a time. We had a wonderful time. So just staying in gratitude for sure. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a great response. I think it's just so important to remember. Yeah, even without all of those things, which we deem basic necessities, you're still open to the experience for sure. And then the last one is, if you could give one piece of advice to an aspiring traveler, what would it be?
Oh, one piece of advice to an aspiring traveler. Don't make the mistake that I did in the beginning, because I was very guarded. my husband again had to open up my eyes, and he's like, listen, babe, I'm from Brooklyn. Like, yeah, I don't trust anybody. He's like, everybody. He's like, but you just got to be open, man. He's like, and when you're open and you have that positive to be open, you attract, you know, like the good people. Mm-hmm. And so don't make that mistake and just kind of go with an open heart. Let it flow. Of course, be aware of your, all the things, you know, we're adults here, you know, where you should and shouldn't go, and be, you know, be aware of your surroundings, but just be open, be open, be open to what the possibilities are, and just have that kind of like positivity. Like, yeah, this is going to be a great trip.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much. Yes, so I just want to thank you so much, Nicole, for joining us on the podcast today. I'd love for you to share how people can connect with you online, if anything's coming up that you want to share with your business.
Yeah, I mean, the summit, yeah, we are just a couple of weeks away from that, but I know when this airs, it'll be after. But I would just say themotherhoodvillage.com. You'll have all the information there, on Instagram at, I think, the Motherhood Village One, Facebook Motherhood Village, TikTok Motherhood Village. And you can connect with me on LinkedIn too. I like to do that as well. I mean, I do have the corporate background and I still do consulting. So that's under Nicole G. Cumberbatch on LinkedIn.
Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining. And I'm so excited for our listeners to hear your story.
Thank you so much for having me, and continued blessings to you for Love and Light.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Transform with Travel podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of inspiration, adventure, and exploration. If you felt inspired by this episode, please rate and review in whatever streaming app you're listening from. This allows us to spread the word even more and continue to serve up weekly doses of adventure. As always, we'd love if you could share the episode with someone in your life who you think will benefit from this conversation. Thanks so much for listening. This is your reminder to get out there and keep on exploring.